Peter Drury joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. That's a pretty intriguing match for you to draw. Argentina and Iceland, two teams, I guess, well, would you say they have different expectations coming into the World Cup? Obviously, Iceland's sort of the plucky underdogs. Argentina, kind of a sense of mission unfulfilled for them, isn't it?
That sums it up beautifully, Jeff. That is exactly the case. That the contrast between them could hardly be greater. They have really nothing in common at all. And I guess the killer stat, if you want to sum up the gulf between them, is that in terms of population, Argentina, I think I'm right in saying, is 125 times bigger than Iceland. Mm-hmm. Iceland, 350,000 people, that's all. But that was enough, as you say, to beat England at the last European Championship. Their planets have aligned, you know. They have, out of that tiny population, got together a very decent squad of hardworking and pretty watchable players. And it wouldn't be a huge surprise if they ruffled one or two feathers at this competition. Having said which, it would be a fairly big surprise if they ruffled Argentina's feathers, because, as you say, they were finalists last time round. The core of that team still exists, certainly in the attacking department. They have, of course, Lionel Messi, and as you also rightly intimate, they have huge, huge expectations.
Mm. This World Cup, I don't know if we can ever say that a player needs a championship, but Lionel Messi kind of needs a World Cup, doesn't he? I mean, he really does.
Well, he does. He does, Jeff. You know, I understand you saying that, and everybody says it, and you're not wrong to say it. But it is a rather harsh reflection on him, you know, that people say all he lacks is a big World Cup. And that he somehow owes Argentina something. You know, they had a laborious qualifying process, did Argentina, and in the end, he virtually dragged them to this competition single-handed. At the last World Cup, they did get to the final, and the fact they lost it, okay, was rather anticlimactic. He scored in all three of the group games in Brazil. For all that Argentina have just fallen short of their targets, and you'll know, too, that they've lost in the final of both Copa Americas since the last World Cup, you know, he has remained their standout player. And it is only really a reflection of his utter brilliance that even more is still expected of him.
You know, there have been, in the lead up to the World Cup, there were, you know, a couple of teams kind of had a little bit of chaos they had to deal with. I mean, one of the biggest, Spain, their FA firing their coach after he agreed to accept a job at Real, just a couple of days, I guess, before the start. But also Argentina. I mean, Argentina, of course, had a friendly scheduled against Israel in Jerusalem on Saturday night. They pulled out, allegedly. Well, not allegedly. It seems as if there was an awful lot of political pressure put on Argentina to not play in Israel by the BDS movement. How much of an impact do you think this type of this type of chaos has on what we'll have on these two teams, Peter? Because they are both veteran teams. Like, I know it's not one and the same. Having your coach change is different than having your schedule messed up, which is effectively what this friendly did. But does chaos play a role in this?
Oh, without question, there are always these plots and narratives which run up to a World Cup. As you rightly say, I think they're two very, very different situations. Argentina, it's not for me to talk about the politics of it, of course, but the fact that they didn't play that football match, I don't think is going to be a major factor, because it was a sort of game that was only going to be a gentle run out anyway. Mm-hmm. They could almost play their first 11 against their second 11 in the secrecy of a training session and probably come up with the same sort of outcome. So I don't think that they are considering that a major bump in their road, just a minor inconvenience. Spain's is altogether different, of course. To have the top man change on the eve of the tournament is potentially huge. Though, as I think a few have been saying in the Spanish camp, not least Hierro himself, who suddenly finds himself in the limelight. Sometimes adversity can be quite bonding, and it just might be that those 23 Spanish fellows get together and say, listen, guys, the rest of it is stuff and nonsense. It's fluff. It's noise. We are going to get together, and we're going to give this World Cup the best possible crack. I guess we're only a few hours away from being able to judge ourselves by the evidence of our eyes, because Spain against Portugal, as you mentioned at the start of our conversation, is certainly one of the standout games, and I'm looking forward to putting it on my television this evening.
Well, Peter, a lot of us have Spain as one of our favorites in this competition. Does this, you know, the fact that this coaching change happened, and the fact that Lopetegui went to Real, is there any chance that this could kind of exacerbate that whole Real-Barcelona split that we sometimes see in Spanish teams? I mean, I don't think it's been as pronounced as it's been in the past, but we have seen that. And do you think there's any way that this could exacerbate that split?
I think it very well could, if the chasm could be any greater come the start of the Spanish domestic season. Obviously, that's got to play massively into the narrative of that. In terms of this competition, I suppose only the players themselves know, you know, how the dynamic of their particular relationships work. My inclination is to believe that when they cross the white line to play the football match, none of that stuff will go through their minds at all, and that there will be a togetherness. But then I don't pretend to know what happens behind closed doors, you know, and it could well be that, yes, there are suspicions and little nasty bits of dynamics working out within that group of men. The human politics is a fascinating element, and I guess that is the one that we can only really speculate about. Plenty of conjecture, but only the people themselves know.
In conversation with Peter Drury on the Jeff Blair Show. I was listening to our friends at Talk Sport when I was driving in this morning, and Hawksby and Jacobs, they were talking about the sort of the settled mood in the England camp, and they had Henry Winter on from the Times, and they were sort of, they were pining a bit for the old days where there was always, you know, there was some controversy in the England camp, and there was it was the media versus the players, and, you know, all the wonderful storylines that came out of that. This does seem to be a different England team, though, doesn't it?
Oh, Jeff is going unfeasibly well, says the Englishman, a little suspiciously. You know, I must say, I know Gareth Southgate a little. He is what he appears to be, a thoroughly nice man, you know, and that is not to mean too nice. You have to have an edge to be in his sort of position. But to this point, he has conducted himself as the England manager impeccably, and I mean beyond textbook perfect. He has dealt with two or three really tricky situations regarding personnel. He, of course, had to leave out Wayne Rooney. He had to leave out Joe Hart. He had to deal with a bit of a media fuss about Raheem Sterling's tattoo, all of this sort of stuff. He's dealt with all of these situations whilst keeping the media on board. There's a mutual warmth between the team and the English media now, which is, as you say, is so very, very rare. Of course, all of this will count for nothing.
But Peter, can I just interrupt and ask
England
you?
Don't thrive, but it's been so good.
Yeah, I just want to ask you, why is that important? You know, because I think some people in North America are going to say, well, you know, who really cares about the relationship between the media and the team? Although it is, it's a huge, it's a huge element of the dynamic around England teams. It always has been.
It always has been. And Jeff, do you know what? I really sympathize with those who say, who cares? Who cares about that stuff? Because it shouldn't matter. And I agree that the media, and listen, I'm part of it, you're part of it. Media are sometimes somewhat self-important, frankly, because the people who are listening to your program are interested in the sport rather than you, with respect. Mm-hmm. They're interested in the sport, not me. You know, they want to know how the players are. They really don't care about the people who articulate it or report it. All I would say is that England's tournament failures in recent years, in my football watching lifetime, if you like, I personally believe have often been attributable to media pressure or public pressure of some sort. Raheem Sterling put it very well in an interview some weeks ago as the build-up began. He said, listen to whomever was asking the questions, you don't understand how important it is for us as England players to feel the love, to think as we go out that the public is on our side, you know, and that if we make a mistake, we'll be forgiven for it. And I think certainly if you think back 2 years to England's darkest recent hour when they lost so badly to Iceland, what I remember of that night, and I was in Nice that night, was the look in those England players' eyes. Good footballers, really good sportsmen, Harry Kane, Wayne Rooney, who just on that evening weren't able to execute their basic skills, really, because they appeared terrified by it. All they could see was tomorrow morning's back page. All they could see was a Twitter storm. They were frightened, in my view, and listen, they might laugh in my face, but in my view, they appeared frightened of failure and terrified to attempt to express themselves. And I think what is being created right now in England by reduced expectations, it must be said, but also by this really sensible, personable approach from the coach, is a warmth, you know, a warmth and an ambience within which I'd like to believe the England team feels it can play without fear. And that gives it a much, much better chance.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the defending world champions before we let you go. Two very flat performances coming into the World Cup. I think, what was it, five matches without a win? I believe it was five matches without a win. Very flat performances by the German team. Manuel Neuer does appear healthy, which is a good news. But, you know, Peter, I think a lot of people would be surprised if you look at this German team. It's actually younger than the last German team. And, you know, you think of André Schürrle and Mario Götze. They combined on that winning goal. Neither of them are on that team. Leroy Sané, the PFA Young Player of the Year, he didn't make that team, and they're still younger. What do you make of the German club or German side?
Well, first thing I would say, and I'm sorry to resort to cliche, not for the first time in my life, but I would take almost no notice at all of Germany's performances and or results in the weeks and months leading up to the tournament, because they've made mugs of us before. Mm-hmm. They have an expertise in tournament football, which certainly in terms of the European nations is unmatched and unsurpassed. And they use the friendlies as friendlies are intended to be used. These are rehearsals. You know, this is the time to get it wrong. This is the time to tweak it. This is the time to see what they might do better. And broadly speaking, when it comes to the big occasion, they turn those sometimes fairly flat rehearsals into sparkling performances. As you say, they have refreshed what was already a world champion team. And I would be staggered, truthfully, if they don't progress a long way again. You know, Germany, it's funny speaking as an Englishman, but one can't help but feel jealousy at the thought that whilst for England, a quarterfinal would probably be par, slightly better than par, going out in the quarterfinals for Germany would be a disappointment. And I could see Germany going to the semifinals at least.
Peter, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Look forward to your call tomorrow. Thank you again.
Good stuff, Jeff. Lovely to speak to you again. All the best.